This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Today, I want to talk more about postpartum depression. What does that look like? The 10% of the women that get depressed after or around the birth and after the birth, what does that look like?
Well, one thing to keep in mind, Brent, and why we use this term is that for a lot of women, it does start during pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So women who are struggling, who are feeling really anxious and irritable, just don't feel like themselves, don't feel like they, you know, have the energy that they need to kind of go about their day while they're pregnant, may be at increased risk for postpartum difficulty. So that we kind of want to think of it on the continuum that way. But things to watch for include feeling, as I said, increased irritability, really impatient, really angry. A key one is a lack of interest in the baby. And that can be hard to talk about and hard, you know, you have this brand new baby, you're supposed to be thrilled, it's the time of your life. Yeah. But, you know, for some women, you just are so overwhelmed that you kind of come to see the baby as this incredible needy monster that just saps you dry.
And how awful are you for thinking that, let alone saying it, right? I mean, that's the kind of feeling that goes
on. Yeah, that's why this is something that's really hard for people to talk about. Mm. So certainly the other things we'd see with depression were appetite and sleep disturbance. And sleep disturbance is hard when you have an infant. But if the baby's sleeping at night and you're not, and you can't go to sleep even when there's a good opportunity for you to sleep, that might be an indicator. Mm-hmm. Not eating or excessive eating can be a sign that something's not right. Hmm. Constant crying and sadness. And again, we're looking for these things to be pretty prominent and last about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having a bad day now and then where you're just weepy and overwhelmed is not, you know, something to watch for, be aware of.
Or being overwhelmed with colic.
Yeah.
That brings back some memories. Okay. So, yeah, the critical thing is that stuff that stays for a period of time, like 2 weeks is typically when we see it's getting significant. So it's not something that you just can fall into. It happens over time. I think that'd be very useful for someone who's listening to this and saying, wow, I have all of those. Or the husband that's saying, wow, I have all of those. and they're going, man, what, you know, but it's only been a couple of days. So, you know, let's say somebody said, well, you know, this has been going on and you said how long? And they said, well, 3 days. What would you say to somebody if they had that?
I'd say take some extra care of yourself. Get some help. Get someone to come take care of the other kids. Get some help with meals. Mm-hmm. Try to take a nap. You know, do those things that you would do if you were sick, if you just weren't doing well. Try to be preventative. If you have a couple days in a row where you're experiencing some of these things, notice and be careful. But you don't necessarily need to go see your doctor yet.
Yeah,
probably. Okay. And that's a judgment call for you.
And some people may be in places that they don't have access to physicians right away. And so sort of see if that makes a difference.
Yeah.
If that doesn't, and then you pass that around 2 weeky kind of margin, then it becomes more significant. Speaking from the husband-father role, I guess, what are some things I would need to respond with like that? Besides, you know, one thing that came to mind was taking a trip, avoidance, denial, you know, but those things probably aren't the best ones to try first, right?
Probably not. And this is probably a time when, if it's at all possible for dad to be around, it's a good thing. One of the things that can be so hard about this transition is it feels pretty isolating. Mm. You're kind of home alone with this baby who needs you. And if dad can be around just as a source of support and to just kind of monitor how it's going, then that can be really important if at all possible.
Does, I you know, I'm thinking of people who don't have access to some kinds of healthcare quickly. I mean, it's a quite extensive exertion of energy to get to a place where there is that kind of care. Does this stuff cycle for some women? I mean, do they kind of have a bad week and then they get better and stuff? Are there sort of unique flavors of this with people?
Sure, and it looks different for everybody.
Okay.
You know, some people are more irritable, some people are more sad. It looks different for everyone. Mm-hmm. I think one key thing, and this is one of those scary ones, but one thing to really watch for is mom having any thoughts about hurting herself or hurting the baby? Mm-hmm. And those thoughts are not that unusual, but if they're constantly kind of plaguing her and she can't get rid of them, then that's probably the time to call in the troops and mm-hmm. say, this is not okay. You're not, you know, mm-hmm. we need to do something about this. You mm-hmm. need to have someone with you. And that can be a really hard question for dad to ask.
Wow.
A scary question yeah. to ask. Who wants to ask that question?
Or for mom to admit without dad asking, you know, yeah. I can imagine how horrible that would be to think it, but then to say it aloud. Yeah. But once again, I think it's important that it is said if there's the feeling.
Sure.
Because sometimes if you're saying, I mean, you said that just about everybody feels that way situationally.
Sure, from time to time.
And to have a confessional, if you will, and to pray about it or something, mm-hmm. often brings that into the light so that it becomes less of an onerous burden that she has to bear all by herself.
Right.
So,
and the key thing, though, is that this experience, depression, or even these scary thoughts about hurting mm-hmm. a baby, did not make someone a bad mother. It does yeah. not mean they're going to be a horrible mother. They don't care. They don't love the baby. It really is a biological process in mm-hmm. it. Is not something that a woman should be blamed for or feel made to feel bad about. Mm-hmm. She needs some help and support, but does not make her a bad mom, and that's really important for everybody to be aware of.
That's great. What do you think are some risk factors? And by that I mean, you know, some things that might move someone towards this.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, particularly women who have some history of depression or mm-hmm. have a family history of depression, maybe not even themselves personally, but maybe at increased risk for depression in pregnancy or right after the baby's born. Women who are pretty isolated, who don't have a lot of support or help with a new baby, tend to have more trouble. Women who are having a baby in the midst of a stressful time, so if there's a lot of marital stress or financial stress, that seems to be a contributing factor for some folks.
Or violence around, or war.
Yes.
A revolution.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Complications during pregnancy, difficulty breastfeeding, mm-hmm. things like that can kind of contribute to the sense of feeling overwhelmed, like, you know, like, I can't do this, I'm not good at this.
Almost anything that makes you feel different than everybody else. You know, I'm not doing it right, I'm not doing it well. You know, I remember when we had our first baby, Sarah, years after many of our close friends did, and they appeared to sail right through it.
Uh-huh.
And when
appeared to.
Yes. And it was terrible because when we had Sarah, then they'd come up and were honest about what they'd gone through. And I was, frankly, a little mad because, you know, I've really been beating myself up here.
Yeah.
And you didn't kind of give me a picture. Everything was always fine, you know. So, I don't know.
I think we can all have...
I feel better talking about that for some reason.
Oh, good. We can all have some unrealistic expectations of what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
And I think especially, you know, new mom, new baby, it's supposed to be blissful. Yeah. And it has its moments of bliss, but it's a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
And it's really draining and can be painful.
And extremely rewarding. Well, that's about it for today. I love that. You know, I just think, you know, you're getting ready for your next one and you've got a 4-year-old and my babies are 24 and 27. And, you know, I mean, I'm reliving stuff here and it's a delightful reliving, even though we're talking about a difficult process. So we'll talk to you next time.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.